Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, man, without David Price, I don't know. The Yankees might have gotten swept in this series.
Well, all you got to do is take a look at Sale, Eovaldi, and Porcello versus Hap, Severino, and CC, and right there. That's it, right there. And now, a lot of that has to do with the ineptitude of the Yankee offense here
the last
two games. Hey, calm down. All right? They won 100 games there, Mr. They Stink.
Oh, that doesn't matter. Yeah, what a meaningless number that is.
But think about that. Sale, Eovaldi, Porcello, and their performances versus Hap, Severino, and CC.
That's going to be one of those things that is a rallying cry for those who want to be positive about the Yankees. Hey, they won 100 games. They won 100 games. Like, you know when a guy really isn't a good player but somehow makes an all-star team, like, once in his career, and then say, well, he's an all-star. Well, that's not what we're talking about. It didn't matter. Didn't come up in a situation when you needed him to, and this Yankee offense didn't either. Winning 100 games and finishing second to the Red Sox, then getting beat by them in the playoffs is a terrible season for
them. This sucks. You suck. This blows.
Yes.
Right. Good job,
thanks, Al.
That's how you cover
yes.
it. And I would tell you that 16-1 and having your ace on the mound and your manager not realizing that your ace is basically not your ace at this point, that to me was the turning point in this whole thing. That was the fourth inning, seven runs, out of control, bases loaded, bring in Lance Lynn, ask him to go out there and what? I mean, it's just that game three was
horrendous.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Al, right on top of it this morning.
I mean, Severino's got a lot of growing up to do. He's got to know when the game starts. By the way, that was confirmed, and everybody basically – except for the Yankees and Severino and Aaron Boone will not confirm it, but everybody else out there in the world is basically saying that he screwed up the whole thing. And some other people were even saying that other players didn't realize, like, when the game was starting. And they were wondering why guys were changing shoes,
man.
You know, in the bottom of the first when they came in off the field. Like, what the hell's going on here, guys?
Well, I guess they didn't realize that the turf with the grass is going to be that slick out there. I mean, that's what Brett Gardner was doing.
How do you not know that before the game?
I guess I don't know. Maybe it started misting. I have no excuse for this. I don't know. No idea. There's two things that happened to the Yankees this year that have happened to the Mets that we'd be laughing about and killing them for years. One is the misdiagnosis of the Aaron Judge injury that was initially a three-week thing that turned into a two-and-a-half-month thing, and then not knowing the start time of a playoff game. I mean, come on.
Was it in bed out of order?
Right. Jerry is here. He's got an update. Good morning, Jerry.
And we are brought to you by Monmouth University. Our coast, your horizon. Navigate your future at monmouth.edu. And brought to you by Winter Brothers Waste Systems, creating a cleaner and greener Long Island. To learn more, visit winterbros.com. Winters, BROS.com. Some of the sounds from last night's Red Sox win. The deciding run happening in the fourth inning.
Pitch. Swung on and hit in the air to right. Judge going back on the track near the wall. And it is gone. It went into the first row. Christian Vasquez goes the other way and homers to right. And Boston takes a 4-0
lead. Now,
we've
seen Judge. Right. We've seen Judge make a lot of those plays and be right on top of those balls that go right over the wall. This one, I didn't feel like he thought was going to go over, and he was trying to still like see if he was going to play it off the wall. He didn't even make an effort for it. I wonder why. I mean, there was even a highlight package last night they played to pump up the crowd where, you know, Judge's into the stands over there making a great catch, and I was very surprised that he didn't leap and give that thing a shot.
Here comes the Judge!
The ball just kept carrying.
I know.
You know, maybe he just misjudged it. I don't know. That made it 4-0. 4-1 in the ninth inning. The Yankees get, so Craig Kimbrell's on for the save, and he was brutal. So he couldn't throw a strike. You got first and second, nobody out with Giancarlo Stanton up.
Again, it'll be a 1-2. Pitch. Struck him out swinging. A slider down and away. Yeah. And with one down, here is Luke Voit.
And so he would walk, and then Neil Walker would get hit on the foot of the first pitch, would get a run in. Gary Sanchez, a deep fly ball to left, a sack fly. And so Gleyber Torres was your final hope.
There'll be a 1-2 to Gleyber Torres. And Kimbrel deals 1-2. Breaking ball is grounded weakly to third. Nunes fields, fires, and it is in time for the out. Ball game over. Boston wins.
That's John Sterling with the calls.
And
the
like a good Gleyber, Torres is there.
Ding dong. Who is it?
Abject failure.
They would go to replay, held up by replay. A great stretch, great catch by Steve Pierce. Nice play by Nunez as well. And the 108 win. Red Sox are heading to the ALCS. Alex Cora will take on his former team where he was the bench coach, the Astros last year. And so you got Red Sox and Astros in the ALCS. Some post-game.
And Nunez hurt himself on the celebration, by the way. So
was it the celebration, though, or was it on the throw?
Was it on the play?
I think it was on the play.
All right, because I didn't, because I was there, and then all I saw was him during the celebration. Yeah, then collapse.
Yeah, I know, Eddie. So when he makes the throw, he stayed down on one knee.
Oh, okay.
So you got a couple of the guys that are celebrating, and then he was like, that's why, by something.
Right.
And then you had the long delay, and so
that's why happened. I thought it was on the celebration, because I saw everybody celebrating and then him down on the ground. So and then on the second celebration, when they confirmed it with replay, which is what everybody's always feared with replay, that this would happen.
Yeah.
Where there was a celebratory season-ending moment. You had
was
to stop.
Close, was a close play.
I know. You had to look at it. I mean, to end a series, you had to look at it. But then you see him hobbling on one leg, celebrating with the rest of his team after that.
I just didn't think he kept his foot on the base in real time.
Yeah. Did Torres get hurt on the play?
He came up hobbling, too.
Yeah.
He's got about 6 months now.
Yeah, he does, yes.
Goodbye.
He'll be fine. Now, I take you back to the other night after the Yankees beat the Red Sox at Fenway. This was a big deal with Aaron Judge walking past the clubhouse of the Red Sox. Yesterday, as you can imagine, in the Red Sox clubhouse after they won. You had to expect it, I would certainly think.
Sure, yeah, of course.
Some of the sounds from the post game. Here's Aaron Boone, couldn't hit the ball out against these Red Sox pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, definitely frustrating. And you know, I think one of their goals in this series was to keep us in the ballpark.
And they did. Sure, Stanton struggled.
Some chances where he could have made a big difference with a big hit or whatever, and it just didn't happen in this series. And, you know, that's part of it.
He went on to say there were eight other guys, though, in the lineup. It's not just him. Here's
Yeah, but
Stanton.
He had chances for signature moments,
he did.
Jerry.
He had a couple of them. You know, go back to the game at Fenway with the bases loaded, nobody mm-hmm. out, and he struck out. Here was Stanton. He knows he failed in the ninth.
You got to put the ball in play. Got to get a pitch out over the plate.
At least move the runners over. Here was Aaron Judge. He didn't think it would end like this.
When I came back from my wrist injury, that was my main goal, was get my bats and get ready for the postseason, do some damage in the postseason, and we just came up short. So,
you know, the biggest difference between Stanton and Judge right now, and Judge made a huge leap from last year to this year, is when Judge has two strikes on him this year, he battles and finds a way to put together a good at-bat. Whereas last year, he almost felt like he could strike out every time. Giancarlo Stanton now, with two strikes on him, he's striking out.
And, you know, and a good at-bat is, you know, it can't be a four-pitch strikeout. If it's a nine-pitch strikeout or an 11-pitch strikeout, right, that's one thing. At least you're battling, like Aaron Hicks battled last night.
Sure.
I felt like Aaron Hicks was on it all night long. Like, he was just so close.
From the bottom of the first.
From the bottom of the first on. And, I, you know, they obviously missed, I think they missed his offense. And I'm wondering why he doesn't play in game three. I wonder why he was not there.
Well, I guess Aaron Boone deemed him not healthy enough, and he felt confident
in
Brett Gardner.
24 hours later, he's healthy.
Healthy? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess he liked Gardner in the lineup. I mean, it didn't make a difference in 16-1.
Well, nothing makes a difference in 16-1, but maybe a couple of different decisions here or there could have made a difference in 16-1. Mm. After the fact, no, of course not. But before the fact, and having the right guys in the lineup and getting the guys out of the game that need to be taken out of the game at the right time.
I mean, he still left Severino out there choking like a dog. So.
I know. Jerry, let me ask you a question. Do you think that Joe Girardi brought an edge to the Yankees?
Yeah.
Do you believe like that edge is missing?
I believe
missing?
He should have never been fired.
Right. Well, you and I are on 100% agreement with that. You know that.
I mean, they won 100 games. You know, it's not like this was a bad team. They had a lot of injuries. They still navigated their way to 100 wins. They just ran into a better team.
But, you know, yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
Does Alex Cora bring an edge to the Red Sox?
Is it an edge? They played, I don't know. I mean, they steal bases. They get base hits. They have good pitching. They're a really good team.
So he also made some very dynamic changes in game three that ultimately worked out for him.
Rafael Devers played.
And those things are, yeah, and Holt, right? So, but the point that I'm trying to make here is that guys like Joe Maddon, guys like Whitey Herzog and Tommy Lasorda and Billy Martin, Casey Stengel, you know, Gil Hodges, all these great managers, we often talk about, you know, Buck Showalter, why they are great, right?
Okay.
And I think that there's an edge to all of those personalities.
Yeah, but it's not the same anymore. Look at all these managers now.
So do you believe that, and I remember saying this at the beginning of the year when Aaron took over, like, okay, it's great to have a great regular season. Everybody's going to love it, and there's going to be ups and downs. But he will not be judged until we get into these tight games in the playoffs. And the decisions that he makes are going to be the decisions that everybody talks about.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to criticize Aaron Boone, it's for games 3 and 4, what he did with the starting pitching. Yes. I don't think that adding an edge to Aaron Boone's personality is going to allow them to hit Rick Porcello last night.
But
I just don't think that matters.
I don't know. I think, you know, you take on the personality of your manager. That's all. And I know he's a competitive guy. I mean, I've heard people talk about him who have played with him and everything else. I'm sure he is. I know that he comes from the media, so he gets what the media aspect part of this all is. He gets a message out there, and last night was the first. Well, you know, Stanton had a chance and just didn't come through.
Yeah, but I mean, Giancarlo Stanton's up there understanding the magnitude of the moment, and he failed. I mean, I don't think he's up there going, "Boy, you know, if I strike out here, Aaron Boone's going to be okay with it." That's not what he's thinking. He knows what's going on. These guys are adults.
Yeah, but part of me also feels like, you know, Gary Sanchez regressed.
Well, yeah, he batted 175 or something.
One of the worst years I've ever seen. Yeah,
yeah, but right. He regressed from last year's postseason in terms of defensively, too, during the regular season. And I don't know. I forget who it was. I don't know if it was Ronnie Darling or maybe it was Flaherty when we were talking to him yesterday. That, you know, Gary Sanchez maybe needs big moments to be focused.
Yeah.
Right? Is that, you know, and well, I'm like, right. He
locks in
the
playoffs. I mean, he had a couple moments last night behind the plate, but he normally locks in behind the plate in the playoffs and hits better, too. So.
Here was the one clip from CC, since I know you guys read the comment where he's killing Angel Hernandez.
I don't think Angel Hernandez should be umping playoff games. He's absolutely terrible. He's terrible behind the plate today. He's terrible at first base. It's amazing that how he's getting a job to pitch and to play in these. To umpire in these playoff games.
And as you mentioned, Porcello's comments, you got to get the ball out over the white part of the plate, and then you get a called strike, CC.
That's for you,
said,
bitch.
Yeah, throw the ball over the plate, CC. I thought Angel Hernandez called a good game.
Yep.
You got to get the ball over the white part of the plate, and then you get strikes called. And, you know, that one at bat with Hicks, there were a couple that could have went either way, and he called them balls in favor of Hicks.
Yeah,
you know, and Porcello wasn't bitching. I think the team you were saying that the team was coming off the field on one of those sliders.
Yep,
but I don't know.
It's over. Are you upset? You gonna get through the day?
I'm upset because I love morning. Talking about playoff baseball. There's not. I'm
got
sure
Astros,
you hang
Red
on
Sox.
Every,
man, I tell you, there is nothing like that. Moment in the ninth inning there where you're feeling something building like that in the building. It's just crazy, like the waiting on every pitch, as we all know in playoff baseball. And you're right, it's gone now.
No,
I'm not watching Red Sox Astros.
We had a portion of our show on Inside the NFL last night. It was called Risk Assessment, and it was about going forward on fourth down, whether, you know, you're Sean McVay, you're Frank Reich, you're Jason Garrett, do right. you, don't you, when you do it. And I always say that's the best part of a football game. That's like the bottom of the ninth inning, you know, when you got this bases loaded, you got your slugger up, and all you got to do is get a hit, and all of a sudden the game is tied, right?
Yeah.
And who wins that battle? And that's what ultimately fourth down is late in the game. It's the same thing. Like, who is going to win the battle? Who's going to make the decision? And then who is going to win that battle and then have that coach either look like a hero or, you know, basically a jerk?
I'll give you a couple more before I get out of here till next hour. Giants-Eagles tomorrow. Pat Shurmur with Mike talking about the release of Eric Flowers.
I really think in the case of Eric Flowers, a change of scenery will do him good.
And so they couldn't trade him, so he was waived. And then you had Beckham yesterday talking about him and his guys being unified.
There's nothing that is going to come in between my brothers, my teammates. This is something that is going to pull us closer. And I felt very close as a team this Sunday, and that's the way that we have to play.
And then on Beckham, you had the interview with Lil Wayne. And so this will be a little radio tease for next hour. God. We'll get to more. Here's who I wouldn't want to be today. His name's Frank Isola, as he was brought up.
To the person that said, how can he be taken seriously if Lil Wayne's sitting next to him? The person that said that is a reporter or whatever, journalist from New York by the name of Frank Isola.
We'll get to what he had to say about Frank coming up
Frank
next hour.
Frank Isola!
Because he had some interesting comments.
So here's how the Giants are dealing with it. They played Lil Wayne out of practice yesterday. That's what they were playing over the music, over the loudspeaker.
That's a loose head coach.
That's cute.
Having some fun.
Right.
So we will have more Lil Wayne.
A loose head coach having some fun? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
A loose head coach.
Yeah, I
would. That's not a good thing. When you put the word loose in front of head coach, that's not a good
thing.
He's
a player's coach, Boomer.
He likes his guys. Takes care of his guys.
If you're playing Lil Wayne after that on Sunday, and then after losing, and then after what Beckham said, and now we're going to come out and play it?
Yeah.
That's a loose head coach having fun.
Okay.
Now they need to win some games.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So we'll do that next hour. You got the Nets in Toronto tonight as the preseason's winding down in the NBA.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.